This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping the local area. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builder Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Wrapping up the school year, Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. Graduation was on Saturday. First of all, talk about that as someone who was there watching all of it from kind of a lot of different vantage points.
Yeah, it's, you know, graduations are always really special events, and I think that's what you'll hear from everybody, but it is a time as a community that hopefully we can celebrate all the work that's went into these, helping support these students as they go out into the world. We had a great graduation. About 350 of our kids are prepared, and they felt like they were had their moment to be honored and recognized. And what a great graduation. It was fun, both as a superintendent to be there, someone who loves being involved in these kids' life, and actually was a parent there as well. Had one of my own kids graduate. So really fun event Saturday. Beautiful weather, beautiful event, and fun to see the community come out and support these young men and women.
I remember when I graduated from high school, it was a really long ceremony because I happened to go to Hillsborough, which at that time was the biggest school in the state, and we had like 850 in our class. So it took a half an hour just to march in. It took a half an hour to name anybody who'd gotten a scholarship, and it took 2.5 hours for the rest of it. But then it was done. And you just, whether it's a shorter ceremony or a longer ceremony, you walk out of that as a kid. I mean, I remember getting home going, whoa, I'm going to college and I'm done.
Yeah, it was fun. You know, there's quite a few things that happened leading up to graduation and kind of working with those seniors. And it's, I think, our students also have that moment. There is this moment where they've gotten that, they received that award, they've got their graduation, and most are ready to go and know their next steps. But it is strange, the next time they come to Roseburg High School, they have to check in. They need to make sure they have a background check. They've been there, right? This is their home. They've been there, and they're very used to it, and there's that moment of like, wow, things are different. And but that commencement ceremony is important. It's symbolic, right? It's commenced, it's both a celebration and looking back, but it's mostly about looking forward. You know, what are you going to become? And I said before, I'm really proud of the fact that we've demanded a rigorous education. Graduating means something from Roseburg High School. You have to earn that. And the students that were able to receive their diploma will do great things in our community and beyond.
So look back at the school year, not just for RHS, but for the district as a whole. How do you feel like this school year went?
Yeah, I think in many ways it's not quite the Charles Dickens, Tale of Two Cities, but I think it's been a remarkable year in a lot of ways. We organizationally, I think we've had some real successes. We galvanized with our board around a strategic plan, and we really, everything we did was really centered on making sure our kids had the care, instruction, support they need to graduate and be ready. And there have been a lot of successes, and also, also challenges. We're like a lot of businesses. We need to make sure we can hire great people and make sure we can be adaptive and think about how to shift and change as needed. But overall, it's been a really successful year. It's our really first year back from COVID without the interruptions of, online learning and not being able to be at school. And so in a lot of ways, it was really refreshing me to be back. Still working through making sure, we can support families and kids to be where they need to be academically, but on the right track for, a lot of success moving forward as well.
And talk about some of the particular challenges.
Well, I mean, I think as I think about those challenges, some of them aren't really always in the classroom, right? We need to think about as a community how we invest in ourselves. The school bond was unsuccessful for the third time, and I think we have some challenges in terms of what are we going to do with an aging infrastructure. We've got buildings that are about 75 years old, so I think that's a challenge in terms of a capital improvement conversation, but also just a challenge in terms of the community about what happens in schools. If you don't have kids in school, should that matter to you? That's kind of a challenge in the community we need to work on. We still dealt with some ongoing threats. We had a couple of those this year where that's something we, you know, need to continue to work through, the sort of challenge of disruption for kids. And then, you know, we still have schools are kind of a microcosm, a reflection, a window into how a community is doing. And we still see challenges in our community that are reflective in our schools. We still see, family decisions around, how they're taking care of sometimes all kids, making sure that they can be supported and taken care of. We still have, higher rates than we should of alcohol and drug abuse. We still see abuse in the community, and that's always disappointing, and the effects of that oftentimes spill over to schools. And we still have issues with mental and behavioral health in our community that we're working toward. So I think the challenges we see really are, like all things, more of a community conversation of how we lift the community up.
Are you concerned about this year's graduates, just in terms of the impact of the pandemic?
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting, right? So these students particularly, their first 2 years at Roseburg High School were directly impacted by the pandemic. And I think these kids have a lot of resilience and grit. There's no doubt about it. They had an interesting start to their high school career. And I think overall, they'll be better for what they've learned. We have tried not to focus on the pandemic, just focus on moving forward. So I'm not tremendously worried about our kids that just graduated. There are, however, some systemic impacts that we see. If we just look at data around literacy and mathematics, where we need to be, where I expect we are, and where we are in different places. And I do think if I look at, fifth grade literacy, for example, a lot of these kids we had a lot of students that didn't really have, they either weren't at school or school was impacted. So I think not so much for our seniors as much as I would be concerned and am concerned about how we shore up that lost learning we had for all students, particularly our younger kids and those kids in the mid-level.
And in fact, going into summer now, last year, and I don't recall before that, there were some additional opportunities in the summer. But we know a lot of things shifted with federal funding at this point. Are those available this year?
We really don't have any state-supported or very limited federal-supported funds. The last 2 years, we've been able to do quite a bit of summer learning. It was amazing for our kids and for our families. It was no cost enrichment and also, credit retrieval and credit recovery and some really we had incredible numbers of students who showed up. We have a very limited amount of money that came in to support that. We've augmented that a little bit. We'll have three summer school programs. One is federally funded at the elementary school level. That's just at Winchester this year. We have an extended school year for students that qualify for additional support services through an IEP. And then the high school, through Measure 98 funding, does provide additional credit recovery and support. The high school will run those three programs this year. It will not be as large as it has been in the past. And it really gets down to a measure of having the support to do it.
One of the things you've talked about more frequently in the past couple of years is an increased partnership with Umpqua Community College. Talk about that.
Yeah, I think, in terms of some successes this year, we've had a partnership with the college since I've arrived, and we really wanted to accelerate that partnership to more around integration. So I think we can all talk about partnerships, we partner together, but what does that actually mean? It's easy to put names of organizations on a sheet of paper and say you'll partner together, but we're really moving with the college toward integration, where our programs are their programs and their programs are our programs. We do have a co-funded position this year, and the vision there is to focus particularly on two verticals that are important in the community, advanced manufacturing and advanced medical health careers. And we are partnering with Roseburg Forest Products and Aviva in terms of the development of those. It'll be important. So essentially, to make a long story short, and the integration with industry partners will be important as well. The vision is that, in those middle school years, instead of just doing a college visit, that we'll begin to do industry visits with students. And for students that have an interest in manufacturing, I see a whole bunch of verticals coming around, jobs that are here in our community, that we would provide a pathway for those students to get the courses they need and the experience they need through Roseburg High School, the college, and right into industry. We hear from lots of our employers that are concerned about they don't have qualified staff, and we are intending to solve that problem, this partnership integration, to put students from Douglas County in Douglas County jobs, and we feel strongly we can do that.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden, more when we come back. The interview, a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248, Lars Larson at 1. Tomorrow on Inside Douglas County, we're going to talk with a couple of the student government students from Umpqua Community College, talk about their view as they get ready to graduate later on this week. Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools in with us now. By the way, Oregon State Beavers behind LSU and 6-2 currently. On that, a little update from Joey Kieran in the sports department. So talk about looking at the next school year. I mean, obviously, you've already planned a lot of things. What's going to be different, if anything?
Well, I mean, the first thing that comes to mind is we'll have a new board. We're going to welcome in 3 new board members, and that's a big deal. And so we're going to say thank you to 3 departing board members. And welcome in 3 new board members. That's a big deal, and we're excited to do that here coming up in July. We've got, I think, the plan moving forward, stays the same. The playbook stays relatively the same. We look for ways to improve, and our focus is really around results with students, right? So how are we going to ensure kids are getting the instruction support they need to move forward academically? We have a focus on making sure what they're doing is relevant for them, and what they're doing is rigorous for them. And then we always have making sure kids have some choice in their education is really important to me personally. I think it's important to kids too that they have an element of being able to really lean into the things that are of interest to them. It's interesting as I think back about some of the bright spots this year. You know, we've had a lot of students, more so than anything I can capture in terms of the history of our district, with kids involved in athletics and activities. You know, we've sent a robotics team to Worlds, our FFA. We sent 2 teams to Nationals this year in forestry and vet medicine. We're a lot of positives are happening, and so it's not always about the academics. It is, but we also want to make sure kids are having a really joyful, holistic experience where they're able to lean into things that matter to them.
I would think, especially on the secondary level, everything is changing so quickly with technology. And you think about just the differences in the last 5 years, that's got to impact the type of things you're teaching beyond just the core math and reading and writing and all that. In some cases, people think they are interested in careers that may not even exist by the time they're ready.
Yeah. We've been saying this for years. If we were to go take a walk through an elementary kindergarten class right now, there's a chance that we're getting kids ready for careers that don't exist. And so really it's about the skills and the experiences kids have to love learning, to see themselves as a learner, to be creative. And of course they need those academic skills around literacy and math, innovation, critical thinking. And so that's, what we've been trying to make sure we do. I've had lots of parents ask and kids ask about, ChatGPT and the advent of AI, and what does that mean for education? I don't know that I fully can explain or even understand what it means, but this is what I do know. As we think about the experiences kids have in our schools, particularly around those vocational ed, trade, CTE programs, those aren't going anywhere. Those are jobs you can't ship to China and India. They're jobs needed in our community. And so we need to provide lots of pathways for kids that where the military is what they want to do, where, it's welding or FFA or advanced manufacturing, that's what they want to do. Or if it's, going away to college and hopefully coming back. And so I think it's incumbent on leaders and school systems and communities to have a pathway where kids see themselves being successful, and that we can make sure to build a foundation where whatever they choose to do, they can be successful in that career path.
Do you feel like some of these partnerships with the college and working with some of the other community, maybe larger employers, increases the potential to keep kids here instead of kind of the exit ramp that tends to be what happens right after graduation?
I really think so. I mean, I have a chance to talk to a lot of our business, you know, community members and partners in the community. And, you know, really over the last couple of years, we continue to hear a need for high quality workforce. And I continue to say, listen, I've got 1,700 kids at that high school that are really, really fantastic. They're smart, they're committed, they live here, they love it here. You know, sometimes I'd say overvalue, but I think about the way scholarships and things happen, where oftentimes we reward students who want to leave. And I find it a bit ironic at times when we have great opportunities here in our own community and the need for workforce to marry those two things and say, let's keep the kids that want to be here and have a, you know, a high wage, high demand job. And there are lots here that we can't fill. I do think that's a turn we're making to make sure that we can make sure our employers and our students and families and community have places for our kids to be successful here.
You touched on this a little bit earlier, but talk about the bond. Three losses in just a few years, obviously during times of world health and economic issues and other things as well. But what do you do going ahead, given the age of so many of the buildings in the district?
I think it's really a community conversation we need to have. You know, I think there's been a lot of rhetoric about schools. There's a lot of misinformation. People don't exactly know what happens in schools. We have people that feel, I think, in the community, like they don't understand the value if I am a retiree, what's the value of school for me personally? And I think until we can really have these conversations around investing in our young people and in their success is the success of the community. Regardless, it doesn't matter whether you have kids in schools, in our schools, or you know, you don't have grandkids in schools, whether your kids goes to a private school, public school. I think what I've seen isn't so much about, sometimes it's economic. Sometimes there's fear about the global economy and about, you know, real pressures around, you know, recessionary pressures and inflation. But I really think what we need to do is spend more time as a community about why that's worth investing in and what the value for everybody is when you can make that investment, what the value is in terms of the value proposition for employers who can recruit people, about bringing talent in, about sustaining your community long term. I think sometimes the vote happens. And, you know, we've had real low voter turnout in this last election, right? It was really low. I think until we can have a community conversation about the value of that, I think we're stuck into, is this a tax or is this an investment? And I think that if it just comes down to a ballot and it's just about that day you're voting, then I think we'll continue to potentially see the results we've seen. So I think we need to widen the dialogue, open that tent up for more conversation.
And even in the aspect of companies here trying to recruit professionals in, I'm told that oftentimes people want to look around and at least drive by the schools, and their reaction isn't always positive.
Well, I can say I know that in working with businesses that are recruiting talent. Oftentimes I have the opportunity to meet with the candidate. And schools are something that people are going to look at. That is an absolute. And I think that they'll also look at is the community supportive of education? And sometimes the way they see that is in the passage of a bond. So I think we'll need to continue to think about ways. I will continue to think about ways of how to engage community members, how to have the conversation so I can better understand, so we can have, you know, more dialogue about, you know, is this community worth investing in? And I think emphatically, absolutely, yes, we're investing in, and that we will need to continue to talk about what it would mean when we invest in schools.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden of Roseburg Public Schools. What kind of things do you have to do before you're at the end of the school year?
Oh, it's busy. We've got, you know, we've got hiring and organizing and planning, but it's a bit sad when we get to say goodbye to our kids. The last day for students is Thursday, and quite a few of our staff, their last day is Friday. So it's making sure everything is, they're getting all the support they need, and wishing them well and us organizing for the next year.
All right, Superintendent Jared Corden, Roseburg Public Schools, 1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
You've been listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM, a daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. It's presented by Concrete Builder Supply. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it around and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEM.